speeches and presentations, we have basically grasped some idea regarding the different devices of Windows. And today's meeting is only targeting at two devices. One is a cell phone, the other is small-sized tablets. In order to make it brief and simple, I would use mobile phone as to refer to both of these. As for the OEMs, ODM, IDH, actually for all of them, their roles are basically the same. But we unified the core and the name of these three kinds of players. We would call them OEMs. So first of all, let's take a look at the slide, the contents of my talk. Through the description of the content of the topic of today's presentation, we can see that if you are the OEMs and if you want to design a Windows cell phone, what would you want to know about what you need to do through what kind of processes to design a mobile phone with the Windows on it? And you can discover that during the whole process, everything is very simple. If you have experienced Windows 8.1, you would naturally know that the biggest major changes from Windows 10 versus 8.1, you would see that simplification is the biggest change. Therefore, as the developers of the OS, and through today's talks in the meeting, we're not talking only about coding or write codes. And also, we have to focus our attention on other things as well, instead of just programming. So first of all, let's take a look at the whole procedure. Through this chart, we can see that the whole process of the procedure covers basically all steps of from end to end of design of a cell phone, from the initial space of design, development, test, certification, manufacturing, and upgrading. The whole process. In the whole process, we provide a lot of tools, a lot of documents. This morning's keynote speeches also have familiarized you with some tools like WKS, SDK, and HLK, and etc. So in the initial instance of design, in the last session, that speaker introduced the requirement for hardware. So based on the requirement of hardware, we would know that in order to design a good cell phone, you need to bear in mind what kind of chips you need to use and what kind of peripheral tools you can choose from. Apart from the requirement of hardware, we also have a catalog of hardware. That is to say, what kind of hardwares have been available on the driving systems right now on the Windows. So by looking at the catalog of these tools, you don't have to develop a certain kind of tools by ourselves because they are already available there. Apart from the development of the tools, during the process of manufacturing, together with the chip makers, we also work with them to optimize the chips. You can see a lot of changes and a lot of optimization have been done during this communication and collaboration so as to lower the cost. But of course, in the post-manufacturing period, we have to collect all the packages of the services and submit them to the whole system. So apart from all of the tools and documents that we provide, that is far from enough. As we all know that the development should also be supported by technologies, and we have invested a lot into the technology. For example, in my team, partner enablement is the name of my team. It's like enablement of the partnership and cooperation between me and my counterparts. So from the design and development all the way down to the manufacturing and post period of upgrading, we together with the manufacturers to cooperate with each other and work out how to upgrade at lowest cost. The domestic manufacturer, most of the versions of the cell phones, their driving system were developed by us basically, so that we have very sophisticated tools and technology support, and the whole process of design will be simplified by this kind of collaboration. And now we can take a look at this light, the cell phone. It's a software, the configuration of the software. By looking at this table, basically there are three major parts or components. The first one is the components provided by Microsoft, and which is a mobile OS of Microsoft. Apart from that, the OEM, what do they provide? So these OEMs, they provide BSP, which includes the driving, and also the KMDF, and also something related with the UFI. These modules were provided by OEMs. What do they do? As I've mentioned before, if the hardware modules were already available and supported by the available hardware, you don't need to do your R&D about them. As for those which were not existing, then you have to start from scratches through your own technical team or by facilitation from other teams like software. And after you're done with the development of these modules, then you have to make some tailor-made devices based on the customization. So when you are choosing the tools, especially those tools which has been supported by Microsoft, that will totally simplify the process. So in the initial place of the design, you have to make a preparation in a full sense so as to save time and cost in the end. Through the development perspective, the whole process is like this. And we divide them into three parts. The first one is preparation. Like I mentioned before in the previous slide, it is about hardware. The choice made for the different types of the hardware and installation of the and download and install the Windows phone kits. In order to make the graphics very intuitive, I just like put them into orderly place, but actually, they are not automatically done according to the process and order I have placed on the slide. And in this morning, we have heard a lot of messages, and the most repeatedly talked is compatible. The compatible driving and drivers and platforms and etc. So we think that the Windows together with the Windows mobile version, there are a lot of similarities between them. The first one is appearance. And we mentioned that the appearance, if they are similar or unified or in the same style, that would be the feature and the symbolic about the Windows product. As for the technical sense, If you are developing, when you are developing the applications and OS, they would have a similar kernels, and also the starting management, and also UFI, and etc. And also they use very similar to keys like a Visual Studio and WDK and etc. And for us, this similarity helps a lot because the desktop development experiences can be copied to the mobile phone version when we are developing the Windows for mobile phone, so as to simplify and shorten the cycle for the development for cell phone Windows. Because the Windows versus Windows Mobile, there are still some differences between each other. And we have to look for them very carefully. As a developer, the biggest difference are as follows. First of all, it is based on the program package. That is, say, on the mobile version, whether or not you use a very normal document or the tailored applications. If you download them into your device, you have to put them into a certain FDK package or packet. And a mobile phone, it requires a high degree of differentiation. Therefore, the tools need to be highly tailor-made. And I would detail on this part later. But of course, on the mobile phone, the voice call is very important. Therefore, the requirement on this part is very, very critical and also very different from that in the desktop. As I've mentioned before, for the cell phone Windows version, when we are developing the Windows for mobile phone, in the first instance about the development, we have to bear in mind the different functions for the mobile phone before everything. In the previous session, maybe you have noticed the speaker had mentioned something about the hardware requirements. If you want to have more information, you can download the PPT on the website I have mentioned in the first place. So from this chart, we can see that the SoC, what are supported by Windows and what are supported by 8.1 version. And we have met such OEMs that they directly install the Android system onto the mobile phone. So whether or not the chips have been included into our catalog, if not, then there will be no corresponding ESP to support it. As for the screen, this is the physical size, 3 to 8 inches. And this is the spectrum for resolution. And also the buttons, there will be a correlation between the buttons. We all know that on the cell phone, there's one button for power and one for volumes. Apart from that, we also have three major buttons. Like retreat, start, and search. So these are three buttons. They are existing in two folds. The first one is what we call the physical button. So the other is the software or the soft kind button. The physical ones are those who are independent with the screen. And they are very tangible and very touchable. And the others can be controlled by just use your finger and touch them. So they are existing in different forms, and they are somehow related with the resolution. And that is very too detailed. And if you really want to have more information regarding this, you can download the PPT I've mentioned. As for those accessories, we all know that for a normal cell phone, the chip manufacturer would design the chips, first of all. And basically, we would have an LCD screen, which is touchable. And we have camera and sensors on the cell phone. That is all we need when we are developing a smartphone. These are the necessary modules that you have to take care of. And the small screen tablets and mobile phone development, that is another topic for another session. And that will start at 4 o'clock. And if you're interested, you can hold on till 4 o'clock for that session. So after we have done with the specifications, then we can start development immediately. And you have to understand the environment for the development, which means that, first of all, you have finished one thing, that is onboarding. What does this mean? It means that through a portal website, you can register, first of all. And also our workers at the back office would help you to go through all the processes, and then you can got a account number. And through this account number, you can download the kits or the environment for the development. And through this account number, you can submit some reports and documents to Microsoft. Through the software, need to have a signature to the Microsoft of Microsoft. And apart from that, so Windows 10 versus Windows 8.1, there's one biggest change I want to mention and emphasize. The domestic OEMs and developers, they maybe have a different OEMs producing the cell phones. But for the Windows 10, the OEMs doesn't necessarily go through onboarding process. As long as you are OEM, after you submit the codings directly, this cell phone license can be authorized to the OEMs, and OEMs can sell the cell phone directly.
And ODM still has to finish onboarding. So for the process, we have also streamlined in making it easier. Now, after the onboarding, you can actually download the development environment. The development environment has two parts. Well, this is also a major change for Windows 10. If you only need to develop drivers, you only need these three toolkits. Visual Studio 2015, Windows SDK 10, Windows Driver Kit 10. So these three alone are sufficient to develop drivers. In the past, Windows 8.1, if you want to develop drivers on your cell phones, mobile phones, you also need to install all the environment for Windows Mobile. So as you alluded to this morning, we have the development version issued by Qualcomm. When we have this environment, when we have this development board, you can already develop the drivers. You don't actually have to have a mobile phone. This is actually solves a big problem for development for independent developers, because many times they say they don't have an environment. First, they cannot get the development environment, and also they don't have the hardware environment. So you can also see that on Windows 10, you can see that we basically address the recurrent problems you encountered before. This actually simplifies your development work. But if you want to finally build an ISO, like ADK, WHCD, and other tools, HLK, the testing kits, testing tools. I have to install the development environment. You can begin to do the development, but let's skip that first. Let's skip the specific development part, because without doing any binding, if we don't write any codes, we can still generate an FMU image file on FFU on your phone and can run on your phone. This is related to what I just said. I just said that the software on your phone basically has three components. One is the with regard to the operating system. Secondly, provided by the BSP, provided by the Flash OEM. The third is provided by OEM. So if the hardware you choose for developing your cell phone, if the BSP already supports it, then you don't have to do any development, actually. You can just use the BFP, and Microsoft provided the operational system, and then use this file to define which SDK file can be put in the final file. You can also define which packages are needed, which are not needed, and then use WSD. You can actually generate a image file, but of course you need a signature for that. Then I'll talk about that later. WHD, it has two functions. First, it can generate a image file, and then it can do customization. So compared with Windows 8.1, there's a big change here. On Windows 8.1, it is called the PIP, but then Windows 10, it's a bit desktop or mobile version of Windows. You actually use WHD to generate the image file. And then if you are familiar with Windows, you can very quickly switch to the mobile platform. WICD, to use WICD, if you want to get to know more information, you can attend the following meeting, seminar. I've mentioned the image files many times. That is the FFU format image files. FFU has many partitions here. Each partition has a different purpose, different software modules. This is the most important part. It includes the Windows OS and drivers are all here. And EFI, EFP, And this is related to boot. And there is a UEFI partition where you put the UEFI. So this partition is defined by Microsoft and FLC manufacturer. Once you get the chip, you basically has the structure defined for you. Don't have to modify it. And this part is for you to understand that the basic format of FFU. As I said, when we build a image file, we want to put it on a device to run it. There are three types of device. One is the reference device provided by SoC vendors. That means we don't have to develop any drivers. You can directly build a image file to be run. So if you choose a reference device provided by SoC vendors, and you are using the BFP, the corresponding BFP, then you can directly build the image file to run it on the mobile phone. So for if you don't have any experience in developing phones, then this is very helpful for you to quickly understand the Windows operating system. So you can do some driver debugging and development of the drivers on the reference device, and it can help you to get familiar with the process quickly. But of course, if you still need, second is the OEM device. One is OEM engineering device, the device you use in your development. This device, this kind of device is for development. You'll do some debugging. You can access the mass storage mode. All these are for debugging purpose. Another very important thing is that you can use the testing signature FFU file. And then finally, there's the retail device, OEM retail device. So the FFU is Microsoft signed FFU. So you need to submit the software to Microsoft to be signed. So the FFU used by the retail device need to be signed by Microsoft. So retail, if you compare retail device with the engineering device, on the engineering device, the system, when it's been loaded, there's a lot for resale. On the retail, there's not such a alert. Now let's take a look at the development part. Many of you have experience developing phones. When you develop a new phone, when you get the first version of the hardware, you need to think of a way to run the operating system on the board. Then on the Windows phone, it's the same. So first, you need to think of a way to run to boot up. To boot the mobile Windows. And on top of that, you can do other development. But if you want the Windows system to reach the main interface, main screen, you have to do several things. First, you need to light up the screen, right? So by changing the UEFI on Android, it's like a bootloader. So for the screen, for the initialization, There are some process here, and the ACPI is basically ACPI basically defines some I/O resources, maybe certain which this address of the peripheral. This has all been configured by ACPI table. But if you've configured ACPI and UFI's LCD initializing the screen well, then in the UFI you can see the display. Then basically the whole Windows system can be boot up. So on top of that, you can develop other drivers. First, we have a list which lists which modules already have existing drivers to support. If the drivers are already on the list, then you simply have to do ACPI configuration. You don't have to modify the codes. But if the device is not among the list, either you have to develop by yourselves or you need to ask a peripheral developing company to develop it for you or Microsoft to develop for you. For the drivers, we've always mentioned that we have universal drivers. Generic drivers, which is a big change from Windows 8.1. If you write a generic drivers, so no matter it's on the phone or on the desktop, it can all run. So for the, it actually simplifies the development process. In the past, you know that for desktop, there are many peripheral drivers. But when it comes, there's no drivers for the mobile vision. In the future, if you can, you can simply develop a universal drivers, so then it is actually simplifies the development cycle. And then there's something different from the desktop. So the drivers should be put in the FTK's program package, then for it to be included in the final image file. For the drivers, if you want to know more about the drivers with regard to the development of drivers, you can attend the following meeting. So once you develop the codes, then you need to do the debugging. On Windows Phone, we use UNDBG to do debugging. We basically use a USB to link the phone to your development PC. Then you can do a breakpoint. You can print out some information, you can do the debugging. In the past, many companies ask this question because when they develop on Android, they say, I can directly use a serial port to print the debugging information. Can you do that on the Windows Phone? Actually, it's the same. As I said, WinBG first support connection through USB, and once it's connected through USB, if you want to print out through the drivers, it can directly output to WinBG. It's just like through a serial port. We can also support serial port, but if the platform is very stable, actually you don't necessarily have to use the serial port that often, but it still supports a serial port. Then WinBG, you can output the print information, do debugging. There are other ways, like use ECW log. You can store the log into some file, so you can still capture the log and then do some analysis. Besides WinBG, we have another tool called T-Shell. So if you have Android development experience, you know Android has ADB. T-Shell has similar functions like ADB. So you run T-Shell on PC, then you can use command lines to access your phone, like copying a file to modify the registry. So this can help you to remotely control your phone. We also have other tools like driver Android 5, so it can help you to validate the stability of your software. For debugging, we have a separate seminar, so if you are interested, you can attend that seminar. Now let's look at the testing. For testing, if we compare it to Win 8.1, there's a big change. The WinPhone 8.1, we use Test Central to do testing. Then for Windows 10, for the purpose of a universal platform, universal tools, we actually incorporate that tool to HLK. So HLK can be used on phone and also on desktop, so it's become a universal tool. And you can also expand its functions for drivers, for the quality of the phones. It can help you to improve the quality of your phones. So I'm not going to elaborate on this part. You can attend the following seminars and lab to get to know more about this. As I mentioned, if you compare phones with desktop, it requires more differentiated requirements. So on the phone, so we have more support for customized options. So there are more complicated customized options. So with these options, items, you can do a different customization so that your phone can be differentiated from other phones running Windows. I won't go through every item on this list, but let me just talk about this customization. It actually used the WHP tool to do the customization. We have a template. From the template, you can choose the things you want to customize. You choose the items, the options you want to customize, and then you can do some editing.
After editing, after saving it, and you can upload it into a packet and put them into a document. So these user-defined options or items, there are two kinds of items. One is a static, which means that after you sign in for certain options, they would not be removed or changed. And for the second kind of the items, if you are using different wires or use different SIM cards, different internet, well, they would choose different configurations like IMF. So they would automatically choose the preset choices. So the same mode of cell phone and the same kind of documents, you can automatically define the different network, and that is very flexible, which is what we call the user defined. So let's take a look at the development of the applications. The applications. I have mentioned before that we have a universal applications development process. So the Windows 10 applications development, either for the mobile phone or for the desktop. So if the applications would be used on the mobile phone, you can use the three kinds of applications development process. The first one is that during your development process, you can use your own environment of development to edit the programs and automatically download it into your mobile phone. And of course, this mobile phone need a encryption. And for the users, second, for the users or the end users, they can download at the stores, at the retailers. And the third mode of applications, the instrument, most of the OEMs would apply this one. The OEM, when they are developing, designing their own cell phones, and they would have some internally stored applications. So all of these APPs developed by themselves would be put into the packet called as PKG, and then would be integrated into FFU, and then the whole system would, during the startup, for example, the first time startup of the device, the code reset and code boot. So this kind of startup, they would have experienced the OBE step. So during taking this step of OBE, they would activate this pre-installed APPs. So after resetting the cell phone, it doesn't necessarily require to install all of the APPs in the first instance. As for the APPs, in terms of Windows 10, there are some changes about applications. On 8.1 version, if you are an OEM, you would know that there is a term called RPAL SDK. Through this RPAL SDK, you can download some API. And on Windows 10, we remove this once for all. And of course, the portals are still there. And then we will put them into the Open SDK environment. So it is very the same case of the universality. So either for the tablets or for the desktop or for the mobile phone, they use the same SDK. In other words, all of these APPs, either developed by SIV or by the OEMs, they can use SDK. But when the APPs, if you want to launch the APPs by our stores or retailers, they would verify whether or not you have the authority and the license to use the API. If this account number used by you does not have this authority, then you would have no authority to launch your APP. In order to consider the offline compatibility, that is to say to make the 8.0 and 8.1 compatible to the Windows 10, on the mobile devices. We have to converge all of the steps together. And I have covered basically all the steps of the development process of Windows 10 for the mobile device. So this graph shows the whole process of the manufacturing. And this is the standard and unified process of the manufacturing. Started with UFI after you have created this documents. And then the documents will be flashed into your mobile phone. And then the short-term tasks, PCPA, will be done. If no problems and no questions, then all the parameters like metadata would be written and put them into a packet. So on the Windows 10, we have made a modification in terms of the flashing. Previously on 8.1 version, they have two steps. It has two steps. On 8.1, they have MOS, which is a very small system of manufacturing, and you have to experience the test. After that, only after that can you flash the retail version. So that is the two-step process. But right now, we have combined these two steps and integrated them into one, which is very simplified process. On Windows 10 version, like I've mentioned before, you can very easily look at these merits and advantages. And we have done a lot of changes, which are very positive ones. And these changes were done with regard to the feedbacks from our partners and OEMs. So what improvements we have made regarding the Windows 10 versus the previous versions? The first one is no matter in the mobile versions or the desktop versions, we simplified and unified the ICD. As for the FFU tools, previously you only support one device, but Windows 10 you can support 8 devices simultaneously. And it can also support USB 3.0. So the efficiency and also the speed has been largely improved. As for the functions regarding the retailing system, there will be a manufacturing mode out there. It's basically like you don't have to flash the manufacturing system and then you have to flash another system for retailing. You don't have to experience these two steps one by one. You can just flash one because they have been merged into one. And after that, the post-market support is very strong. For example, if the users return the device and maybe something wrong with some functions in the devices. Therefore, the users return this device. But for the manufacturing mode, it's not possible for the manufacturing mode to test all of these functions. But after returning, the manufacturing mode, together with the retailing system, because they have been combined, therefore, this combination of the modes would be very supportive for the post-market services. As for the OVK, a lot of partners previously complained about the MII, some functions cannot be tested because some portals and APIs versus the API, it's very difficult for them to find. So for those untested or untestable functions, after MMI testing, because the testing coverage is already expansion or a very huge expansion, therefore there's no need for us to have OVK. Because in the previous versions like 8.1, And for the manufacturers or the OEMs, they have to write OVK. Most of these OEMs will find it very difficult, like after they have write OVK, but due to some reasons, these cell phone cannot be activated. Or the OVK couldn't be done, simply couldn't be done. If we can remove the step of OVK, there will be a huge simplification for the OEMs. And the whole process will be smoothened and ironed. Cost can be lowered, therefore. So these are the huge changes we have made regarding Windows 10. After what we have got from the complaints and feedbacks from the OEMs, we have done these changes. In the previous slides, I have mentioned for the retailers, they need to have the signature. First of all, they have to use a so-called PSB ingestion client, a tool. And I mentioned onboarding. After you finished onboarding, can you use this kit to submit the packet of the program? So after you experience or finish the onboarding, in the back office of the Microsoft, there will be some available documents. So signature will be divided into two parts. One is a non-Microsoft packet, must be submitted back to the Microsoft for signature. So if you are running the system in the retailing system, then it doesn't matter. Because there are two kind of versions, one is testing versions, the other is the end user's versions. As for the non-Microsoft packets, after you download it, the FFEU document, and after you created this file, you have to create a catalog, and then this would be totally submitted back to the Microsoft for signature, and then you would put them back in a combination. So the FFU will be downloaded into your cell phone with the signature. The signature and the desktop version will be different. Like I've been mentioned in the previous session regarding the hardware requirement, you'd better familiarize yourself with this part. After marketing, or after all of these products are on the market, and you have to focus on the upgrading of the cell phones. It also related with the signature. You have to use a tool to submit the requirement for upgrading based on the signatured packets. So you submit the requirement of the upgrading to the Microsoft, and Microsoft would put them into a preview servers. Your cell phone can test this packet whether or not it is functional. If there's no problem with the testing, and then you can, by using the approval requirement, the Microsoft would put this upgrading back to the product server. About this process, if you want to have more information in details, you can focus on some update section in the website of Windows of Microsoft. In the beginning, I have mentioned We have provided a huge amount of tools and documents. So as for the files or documents, files, we have the connected one and disconnected ones. So after we have done the mobile OS kits, they will be included into a file toolkit. On the website of Microsoft, the new versions will be upgraded. So the OEM portal, you can take a look at this connected versions by looking at the portal of WPOEM. But previously, we have no access to these documents and specifications regarding these mobile versions on the OEM support portal. But we would include them in the future. That is what we call unified and connected platforms. So in the future, we'll use a unified and universal platform and to look at all the APPs. That would be a huge convenience for the users. And through one platform, you can look for all kinds of accessible information you want. Basically, so much for my talk today. In conclusion, I think that on one hand, we can see from this presentation that we have provided a huge amount of tools. On the other hand, and we also provide some specifications and also how to use information and also some technical support regarding the OEM system. And we have invested a lot in the technical support so as to tackle the problems you would encounter. Regarding the files part, my team, based on their previous experiences in cooperation with the OEMs. The domestic OEMs, I can tell you that they require simplified pamphlets or step-by-step guidance as simple as possible. So for the collaborators or for the partners, we'd better provide a file which is step-by-step guidance.
Customized work, we streamline all this. So if you have any need, you can talk to your contact at Microsoft. If you don't have this, you can ask your contact with the Microsoft to get these documents. So you can actually scan this code and provide us with feedback. Any questions? Do you have any questions? Well, this model is really depends on the what's the testing function you have on the during the production process. If you need that, you can actually expand through MMI. You can add your own features. You know, I want to identify if it's my own phone. You can expand that. You can add that. Other questions? Thank you very much.
吗？